Chapter 2. I climbed onto Jordan's sailboat. The cockpit floor was hinged open, exposing the engine, and Jordan knelt inside with a wrench. She looked up at me for a moment.
"You look like dog shit,"
she said, wiping a dirty sweatshirt sleeve across her forehead, then returning her attention to the engine. Jordan Hawk doesn't pull her punches. She's abrasive, she's direct, and she's 100% honest. Sometimes to a fault, which is why I love her and trust her, with my freedom and maybe my life, literally. She's also an enigma. She won't return calls for days, then calls out of the blue with no explanation, and if you ask, she reacts as if it's a weird question. Sometimes a good joke or witty retort will draw a blank stare from her, and other times she'll laugh uproariously at seemingly trivial things. Her mind isn't like yours or mine. A lot of people are quick to label her. "Oh, Jordan is on the spectrum," they'll say, meaning she has high-functioning autistic tendencies. I don't know. Maybe she does. Many people have trouble interacting with her. They're offended by her bluntness or put off by her sometimes stilted or one-sided conversations. But I don't find labels like that to be useful. You just have to learn, Jordan. She's far more than some stereotype or personality disorder. I take her as she is. I wouldn't expect a colorblind person to see a painting the same way I do. And I don't expect Jordan to feel emotions the same way I do. Jordan's medium height and full figure belie a powerful physique, and she also possesses an even more powerful intellect. Back in her preteen years, Jordan and her brothers were natural swimmers. If you jumped into a swimming pool with those three, you'd feel like a dog paddling around trying to catch up with three dolphins. All three qualified in their age groups for the state championships. But while her brothers both won ribbons and trophies and went on to compete at the collegiate level, Jordan wasn't so lucky. At age 13, a catastrophe, she grew breasts, large ones. To her great dismay, her bosom swelled out at an alarming rate and her hips widened into the hourglass figure she has today. While she could still outswim 9 out of 10 girls and most boys, her figure was, as her coach put it indelicately, not streamlined anymore. Fair or not, her coach went on, short guys can't play basketball, skinny guys can't play football, and curvy women can't set swimming records. She was devastated. Swimming wasn't just a hobby. Her life, her friends, and her family's weekends were all woven into the sport. And she lost it all in short order. So Jordan redirected her energy into other athletics. Her powerlifting achievements are the envy of many. She is qualified as a commercial captain on sailing vessels up to 70 feet, is highly sought as crew in sailing races, and woe is the man who tries to keep up on a 20-mile mountain backpacking trek. Did I mention she has a PhD in political science, along with a master's degree in computer science? The latter is how we met, programming partners in the computer science graduate department at Stanford. "Up late?" I replied to her straightforward dog shit assessment of my appearance. She scoffed. "Yeah, I bet you were. Rescued another lonely, horny woman, did you?" I ignored her snipe. "You about done with that?" I said, looking down at the exposed engine.
"All set," she replied.
She gathered her tools, wiped them to a shine with a clean rag, returned each wrench and screwdriver to its appointed place in her perfectly arranged toolbox, then climbed nimbly out of the engine hatch and closed it. "Give me a sec while I change out of these greasy clothes." 20 minutes later, we were ghosting out of Princeton Harbor, sailing on a light morning breeze under foggy skies. Long, low ocean swells from a far distant North Pacific storm rolled lazily past under glassy waters, barely rippled by the breeze. Mist dampened sound from the shore, and the boat glided noiselessly. A line of pelicans flew by, somehow elegant and awkward at the same time, skimming a few inches above the water as they air-surfed the ocean swell. We sailed in companionable silence, Jordan at the helm, and me enjoying the peace. A half hour later, the sun was breaking through the fog, and the breeze threatened to build into a proper wind. Jordan finally spoke.
"What you got for me?" You'll like this one. It's the Jesus Christ Publishing Company. Books by and for Christians. JCP for short. No shit. I love it already. Let me guess, the company's pious president is seeing hookers on the side.
Jeez, use your imagination, I replied. It's way better than that.
This purported man of God likes to hire gay BDSM sex workers. He's heavy on submission and masochism. Apparently he gets off on whippings, humiliation, and, I'm not making this up, on ice-cold fruit juice enemas.
No way, she said. That's gross. For real? Cold enemas are a thing?
Yeah, okay, I had to look it up. You don't want to know the details. It's harmless but painful, and he digs pain. It helps him jerk off, and we got him. Their company network was pretty hard to crack, but those Bosnian hackers got a foothold through JCP's firewall, and I hacked into the Bosnian hacker's own system a couple months ago. So I hacked their hack and snuck in that way. I got all JCP's financial records, so you'll be able to see what we have to work with.
Good work, she said, somewhat to my surprise.
Jordan didn't usually offer compliments. She thinks of them as redundant. I already know I do good work. Why should she tell me something I already know? Just to pat my ego?
Not Jordan. But apparently today was an exception.
The gold mine was the president's laptop, I continued. That idiot used his work computer to find and hire the dominatrix sex workers. And get this, I think he's embezzling company funds to pay to have a cold enema tube shoved up his ass.
Yuck. I mean, whatever floats your boat in the sex department, I don't give a shit about his enemas.
I rolled my eyes.
Okay, you're right. That was bad, she said. Let me rephrase that. Whatever floats your boat in the sex department, I don't care, as long as everyone's a consenting adult. But embezzling from Christian book sales to pay for it? I love it.
What's the company worth?
They're small cap stuff, about $2 billion.
They trade a couple million shares a day at around $20. You're the financial wizard, so...
She quickly did the numbers in her head.
Yeah, a scandal like this should knock down the stock price by at least half. We should be able to make a couple hundred thousand no sweat and not draw any attention. A good day's work.
Here it is, I said, handing her a USB thumb drive. Smart criminals don't use the internet to plan their crimes. It's why we were out at sea to plan our next heist, as we called it. Nobody around to overhear us, no internet, and we'd left our phones on shore. Even if Jordan's boat was bugged, we were too far away for the signal to reach shore. We considered unbreakable encrypted messages. But even exchanging secret messages makes you look suspicious right off the bat. A sailboat at sea was much more secure. Besides, it was a beautiful, peaceful morning.